let's will we pray, and then we will sing a few songs. Heavenly Father, thank the Lord for safe travels. Thank the Lord for success. Thank the Lord for blessings and helps in our own personal lives. You know all of the things that are going on in the world right now, Lord. Help us always to keep our eyes upon you. Thank you for loving us and for your long suffering and for your patience. And we pray, O Lord, your forgiveness for what we have done. Please, Lord, I pray, take and use us in these last of the last days. And please bless the Jewish people, Lord, wherever it is they might be, in divinely provision and protection. Thank you for loving us. Please be one of our number. Wherever, Lord, we are gathered together, preaching the full counsel of your word. I pray, O Lord, that you would be there, that you would minister to each one of us at the point of our need. Just pray especially, Lord, this evening for Louise and Barry and Brian and Joanne. You know who they are. For Megan and Louise, for Joe, and there's two other folks whose names I'll have to refresh, but Lord, you know who they are. Please save souls, Lord, and please take and use us. Please go forth before us, Lord, and fight what battles you need. Only you can fight. Give us the wherewithal to fight the bits, do the bits that we need to do as well. Love you, Lord. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you for the benefit from the dad. And we just ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Just want to thank everybody for their prayers. Everything for my dad got sorted out with Lou Baller. He went up for the consultancy, we thought, on Monday morning, and in the space of 15 minutes, they'd given my dad two or three wee anesthetic jabs in the eye, scooped off, there was a tiny little bit of cancer just on the eye, scooped it off, cauterized it, and put a plaster on it. And that was that. So it would have taken him longer to write up the paperwork and make another appointment. We're glad of that. Number 29 is Wee Black Books. This is one that is fast becoming a favorite. Precious Lord, take my hand. I remain seated as we see. Understand the messages, and it always makes me smile whenever we're singing that one. Right, let's scoot over to the bigger hymn books, and we're going to do 176. It's Jesus Loves the Little Children,
There's only like one verse, and I know it's a bit of a long verse, so we're going to sing it twice. 176. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing.
The next reading is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26. In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. You have a strong city. Salvation will guard point for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation that keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. Which shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited on thee. The desire of our souls is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be shown to the wicked, yet will not he not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness. Will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord? Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, and they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far from all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with a child that draweth near the time for deliverance is in pain, and crieth out and repines, so have we seen in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have as it were wrought forth women. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. neither have the inhabitants of the world gone. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is the dew of the herb, the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of this place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Amen.
Some good verses there. Verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And then there was one that was very interesting. Verse number 10. Let favour be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Goodness, that is like watching TV and seeing those things. That is just a sign of all of those that hate God. No matter what you do for them, they still will never change. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in me. Amen. Thank you for that. Just want to remind everybody about the wee prayer list. Is there anything we need to add to it for this evening? I think there should be a new one generated for the weekend. Is there anything we need to add to this? Don't write there if you have to be careful not to scratch. That's grand.
Mark.
Yes.
I want to actually be put on Nolene Lamar. She went in for a bath operation. She had was it her liver, was it, or kidney? I mentioned about it's got cancer, and I think she got that cut out, and they brought her out in London. So I think she's back at the house now.
Goodness. Cancer removed and home. That's good news. I hope they got it all. So we're glad of that. Please do pray for Pat and Steve. I think Steve, whenever we nipped past about an hour ago, and he was still not home from dialysis, so please pray for Steve. We also called past Will's house. He wasn't home yet either. That was at about, 25-2, give or take. Please pray for them. Please pray for Colin. He's trying to get out of Ukraine. I hope and pray he's able to make it. And I think that's about that. Don't forget we Frank. Don't forget pray for Frank as well. Might not be here, but we still thank on him and Dr. Shannon too. Amen. That's about that. We'll have a quick word of prayer and then we'll sing a few more songs.
Just one more brief remark.
Sorry.
I was just listening to CNN report last night. There's a little girl called Gemma.
Not the wee redhead.
Her father is Irish. She went missing in that kibbutz. Yeah. Well, they thought she was dead.
They reckon she's alive.
Right. They reckon she's alive. They've pinged her phone on the other side of the border in Gaza. She was staying with friends that night to sleep over. She had her phone to contact her father. The phone's in Gaza, so I reckon she's in Gaza. I just hope she's in Gaza. Well, her father just said, I hope she was dead, because what she's going through is crazy. But last night, the ABS told him that she was alive.
Well, that would be good.
Beautiful evening. 9 years of age.
Sour. We read.
10 on the 17th of November.
Just pray for Gemma. I'm sure that's a story. There was, wasn't there one other wee girl that she was at a concert and left it, and I think she was confirmed dead. So pray for that wee girl, Gemma. But things are not looking good if you happen to live in Gaza. If you are, pray for Israel. It'd be great if people didn't get killed, as President Trump said. I just wish people would stop killing themselves or killing other people. But what's happening in Israel is a direct result of Israel being attacked. So, personally, hate it when people have to die, but as a nation, whenever another nation attacks you, you must respond in kind, especially with Islam. Man summed it up very well. If the Muslim terrorists laid down their arms, there would be peace. If Israel laid down their arms, there would be no more Israel. If the Muslim terrorists laid down their weapons, there'd be no more war. If Israel laid down their weapons, there'd be no more Israel. So please do pray for that, for the Lord's will to be done, for the world to learn a lesson. Unfortunately, the verses that Norman brought to us this evening, 2,500, 3,000 years ago, they say that these wicked people, no matter what goodness you show to them, will remain wicked, and they will look for an opportunity to attack at a later date. The Bible says that will exactly happen. I would love for all of those Swains to get back home. So please do pray for those that were kidnapped in Israel, that were taken from their families for no reason other than to cause as much trouble as possible, especially for that wee girl, Gemma. I think she's a lovely looking wee red-headed girl. And I've seen her picture in a few newspapers. But, please do pray for them. Love to pray. All right, let's pray then. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come before you. And Lord, we should take opportunity, many, many opportunities, Lord, to come before you and spend time in your presence. And I pray, Lord, please, that you watch over us and keep us. Not just us, Lord, but I pray for Colin, for his very life, for Steve's health, for Pat too, Lord. Pray as well for Will, for Frank. Pray for Norman and Lane, for John, for his mum and Stephen, for Monica and myself, for all those that have been and gone. Lord, first of all, I thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for the help with my dad. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank safely back home again. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to look after each one of us. But I pray very specially this night for Israel, for the soldiers that are risking their lives to defend their borders. I pray that you would divinely and miraculously protect them as they go. I pray, Lord, for people to learn lessons that you just don't mess with Israel, that they are divinely protected. But I pray you too, Lord, for America, for Britain, for Russia, for China, for Korea, for Australia, for Africa, for Europe, for, Lord, all of the nations, especially Canada as well at this time. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would greatly grab a hold of all of the leaders and those in decision-making spots, Lord, that you would greatly, Lord, convict them of sin and judgment to come. And Lord, and even in these last of the last days, those that stand for you, I pray a blessing upon them. I pray you, Lord, too, for this RSE, this destruction of our youth that has been perpetrated by our own government. I pray, Lord, that people would be made to pay for that in the here and now. I pray, Lord, please, that you would protect our children. More than that, Lord, that you would introduce especially yourself to them, Lord, at every opportunity. I pray for my sister's school, Lord, that quit the assembly and the hymns and the prayer time and the stories from the Bible. And Lord, your word has said that the last days will be perilous times, and we're here. Please bless each one of us, Lord. I pray you, Father, as the opportunity arises, that you, Lord, would please help us to be a help. Tap us on the shoulder if we're not paying attention. Help us, Lord, to be a help. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for watching over us. Thank you for keeping a wee roof over our heads, for the food that we have in our homes and the heat there too, for the much that you've blessed us with. Lord, we're thankful for it. Help us to put it to good use. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's have a look in the big hymn book again, if you would like to take and turn there to 264. That's
once for all will remain seated for this once for all 264.
Oh,
Matthew chapter 13, and the title for our message this evening is Questions, Questions, Questions. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse number 24. Verses 24 to 43, I think that... that doesn't take us the whole way through it. That's what we're going to be reading this evening, so let's begin. Matthew 13, verse number 24, the Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. Lest whilst ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. That is our Bible reading. In fact, not very many times whenever I read the Bible or portions of the Bible, that so much of it is literally has to do with the message that we're bringing this evening. But I think every single part of it does. Let's have a quick word of prayer and we will continue on. Lord, we could do with your help as we spend time in your word this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would open our understanding of all the things that are mentioned in the parables. Help them, Lord, to form a better picture of life and eternity. Thank you for loving us. And pray, Lord, that you would put your hand on each one of us, open our understanding this evening. We love you and thank you, Father. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are talking about parables this evening for a little bit. And the questions that everybody has, that men have had ever since men were called up out of the dust, and how the parables bring answers to. The first parable that we're looking at is the first one we read, where the Lord talks about the tares and the good seed. The story is presented as God being the owner of a field, which is the whole world, and he plants the good seed, which is the children of the kingdom, in this field. The story shows us that after a certain time, the Lord looked at his field, at the world, and he and his servants saw all of these weeds growing up. And I have actually seen the farmer do this. If you see the crops growing up, after a little bit, the weeds will actually start to tar over the wheat. And if you don't go in and pull them, they will actually germinate and they will throw more weeds around the place. So I have seen the weeds actually growing, and you would think that there would be lots of good seed only, but weeds appear. Anyway, the servants say, Lord, should we not just go and tear up the weeds? And the Lord says, don't go doing that, in case as you tear up the weed, the weed's roots are tangled around the roots of the good seed, of the wheat. Wait until judgment day, the Lord says, and then gather them all up at the same time, and gather the weeds, tie them up and fire them into the fire, and all of the people, all of the good seed, that is God's people, gather them up and take them into the kingdom of heaven. And this portion of God's word, and it's actually going to come to the very end of the message, it quite literally shows us that there are people that follow God in the world, and there are people that hate God in the world. And it tells us that there's going to be judgment. A judgment which God's people will never see, but that is all that those that hate God will see, and they will suffer for the endless ages of eternity in immortal bodies that can never be destroyed, the pain of the torment, but also the regret. Have you ever done something wrong and suffered the consequences of it and could kick yourself for doing it? Because it's wasted time, it's wasted money, it's just been a waste. And you kick yourself and it annoys you. Imagine being like that for the endless ages of eternity. It is probably a blessing of God that people get to feel the pain instead of the regret at their stupid decisions, although I'm not going to put that to the test. Even as we read on from here, so we have judgment. The next parable that we look at is the parable of the mustard seed. And this is about yours and my Christian life, and we're reading these out of order because they're in the order that they're presented. Yours and my life is believers, as believers, is the mustard seed, and it's the smallest of seeds. And if you think about it at all, your ordinary life gets a head start in your Christian life, so it starts very small. But there comes a time whenever The Bible says if you look at all of the other plants, the trees, they grow really big and all the birds of the air find a home in their branches. And I got to thinking about what those birds of the air were. And I think that those are things like jobs, interests, weddings, children, parents, hobbies, things that make up your daily life. Like John has just spent a ton of time, by all accounts, painting the inside of his house, just like I just spent the previous month painting the outside of my house. And I am sure there are lost people painting the insides and outsides of their houses. And all of these birds that come and make their nests in the branches of it are all of the things that people do with their lives. And here we are as Christians, living different lives, but we still do a lot of the very same things. It is a life that's pleasing to God, it's different to the rest of the world, but we still have a lot of those things in them. We come to the quote from the Old Testament, which is what the parables are all about. Actually, we don't come to the next. I nearly missed that one. The parable of the leaven. Now, leaven was traditionally old dough that made the bread rise. And you broke it all up, and you worked it into the dough, and it took a bit of work to work it into all the dough, only a little bit. And then you pulled a bit out from what you had to leave aside to put into the next loaf of bread. And then you cooked it after it rose up and turned into a loaf of bread. And that is just exactly like our lives. The bit of gospel that you have, it starts off very small in your life. And if you use a bit of effort and put it into every part of your life, it'll help the whole of your life to get bigger and better. As we look at verses 34 and 35, we see the whole point of the parables, which is to answer the questions that people have about life, the universe, and everything. But there's more than just these parables. The tail end, you can read what we just spent a minute or two talking about, the meaning of the parable of the tares. But the parables show us clearly things that mankind was never made a party to in the past. Talks about salvation. It actually gives us insight into people's hearts and minds, their reactions to the gospel, and judgment is mentioned many, many, many times. An answer to the great question, as they say, to life, the universe, and everything. What is the point in life? No, that Christ rejectors pray that there's nothing next because their accountability is going to be fatal, quite literally. But saved souls know from their Bible readings that what happens next is a joy. And sometimes for those that are in a lot of pain, it can be a relief. That is, of course, an eternal hope to all those that have repented of their sins and trusted in Christ as their Savior. Let's talk about salvation in the parables. Does everyone remember the parable of the 100 sheep? And one of them gets lost. It's always followed in the Gospels by the parable of the 10 silver coins, and one of them gets lost. And it talks about the shepherd and the woman that owns the 10 coins going to great lengths to search out this one lost sheep, this one lost coin, and then rejoicing when they find it. That is quite literally what happens to you and I whenever we get saved. God rejoices. There's a party in heaven. He did it. He beat the world. He beat the flesh. He beat the devil to take advantage of the great work of God in repenting of his sins and trusting Christ as a Savior. That's there in the parables. The importance that God puts on your soul. Anyone remember the parable of the pearl of great price? A man finds this pearl and goes and sells everything to acquire it. And that's what Jesus did for you and I. He gave up everything so that he could save you and me. and me. And it cost him everything on the cross of Calvary. Now, I would love, and I remember saying to my old pastor, who is like a year older than me, so he's not that old, Pastor Fox. I remember saying to him one time, I wish I could find the switch on people's heads that you could press and have them understand the gospel. The word of God. Are you missing that, Sterling?
No. The same page.
Let me sort you out.
No, I have another one. The front of the same page, but the back.
You sure?
Yeah.
That's the full notes. Technical difficulties. I already mentioned that tomorrow. Has anyone heard the parable of the sower and the seed? Where it talks about the seed going into four different bits of ground. The wayside, which is very hard and won't take any seed. There's the stony ground, there's the thorny ground, and there's the good ground. And as the gospel is preached, there are four types of people. There are people that will reject it, just out of hand. That will not find a place in their hearts at all. And then there's people that have, as the Bible says, no depth of character. And they'll accept it, and everything will be hunky-dory until there's a wee bit of hard time. And then they'll just, oh, that's too much fun. And then there's the thorny ground, or the weedy ground, and that's people that accept the gospel, but they get too engrossed in amassing a fortune, or a kingdom, or an empire in this world, and they forget about God. And then, of course, there's the good ground, which the seed falls onto. It makes a difference in a person's life. And they actually do something for God in their lives, and other people get to hear the gospel. That was never shown to people before. But that is the four types of people and their reactions to the gospel. Does anyone remember the parable of the house built upon the sand and the house built upon the rock? That quite literally shows to you and to me the effect of having your life based upon Christ, the solid rock of your salvation. But whenever hard times come, and they will, just like the hard times will come to any house, if it's not built upon a solid foundation, eventually that foundation will be washed away and the whole house will fall down, no matter how beautiful it is. I don't know about you, but if there was an extended period of bad weather, I would far rather live in a hut with a fire that's going to stand against the weather than a beautiful house that's full of beautiful things that's going to fall flat in its face at the first rainfall. And that is the same with the gospel. Build your life upon Christ, and when hard times come, you'll be able to weather them. Whereas, and I have seen it many times, people whose lives are not based upon Christ, they crumble when they come across, probably most distinctly or notably, when they come across death. That is the ultimate line drawn in the sand. Does anyone remember the parable of the 10 virgins that were waiting for the groom, and the 5 of them had extra oil in their lamps and 5 didn't? And whilst they waited for the groom, they fell asleep, and the oil started to run really, really low. And those that had oil poured it in and went off to meet the groom. And those that didn't, they said, give us some of yours. And he said, no, there's just enough for us. You go and get some oil. And they went, and they were locked out of the wedding feast. And when they called to be let back in after it was too late, he says, I don't know you. You weren't here during the wedding feast. You're not getting in. I don't know you. You weren't prepared. Don't put off. People shouldn't put off their salvation, because you never know when Christ either comes back to the world or you come out of the world and go to meet Christ. You and I don't know. So we should be ready. Don't put off, don't procrastinate in your Christian life. Now, there's a lot of people in the world think that God only came to them or their people. The Bible says in the parable of the wedding feast that God invites all men. It specifically mentions those that were originally invited, of course, the Jews, refusing. So the Lord sent out into the highways and the byways, that's you and I, in case you're interested, and said, come on in. I want you at the wedding feast. God calls all men everywhere to repentance. Doesn't matter whether you're, doesn't even matter if you're a Muslim or a Jew, Protestant or Catholic, black or white, it doesn't matter. God calls everyone. A lot of people think that if they do nothing but cause rack and ruin to Christ and his kingdom in this world, that they will inherit the world. And we have the parable of the bad stewards. Man that let his vineyard out to stewards and demanded the fruits of it, and they refused to give it. And he sent servants to them, and of course they abused and rejected and beat the servants. And then he said, I will send my only begotten son, and they will be respectful to him. Of course, we know this is about the life of Christ. And they thought that by killing Christ on the cross, that they would get everything. They would have their power in this world. They would have their riches and their glory. But we know that there is judgment for all those that hate Christ and hate God and persecute. And we know from the parable that they are all going to be slain, as the story goes, but thrown into hell in the lake of fire. There is also the parable of the man going to court with his adversary. Does anyone recall to mind that one? And this is what the Lord said. When thou goest to court with thine adversary, I'm paraphrasing a bit, make good before you get to court, or if you arrive in court, you will be put in jail and not released until you pay the uppermost farthing of your debt. And I am going to tell you something, friends. There is not one of us could pay even the tiniest portion of our debt to God. And what that is saying to Joe Public right the way across the world is, court date, the day of judgment, is the day that you breathe your last. And I want for everyone that hears this message, or indeed any message, to get that penalty sorted out before you get to court. To organize with your solicitor at a time whenever it's most advantageous to you to get it all sorted out. Have you ever heard of out-of-court settlements? Before you get to court, the two solicitors get together and they hash out a deal, and then everybody goes away happy that they didn't have to go to court. You can hash out a deal through Jesus Christ in this world. You can repent of your sins and he will pay the penalty for all of the times you broke God's law. You can do that here and now. And all you have to do is say, Lord, please save my soul. But if you don't do that, and judgment day arrives, and you stand in front of God, and judgment day for a lost soul will be the day that they die. Graduation day for the Christian will be the day that you close your eyes here and open them in heaven. But judgment day, you will stand naked and ashamed in front of God with no pockets, and you will be made pay the full debt, every single one of the times that you broke God's commandments is a death sentence. And we don't have anything to pay for that. So it will be into prison until you pay the uppermost farthing, which will be hell forever in the lake of fire. I think I got most of the parables. I think I did. No, I didn't get the one about the fishes. There's one more where it talks about who gets into heaven. And the parable is about the man that goes out, throws a net into the sea, and draws the net back to shore, and it's full of all sorts of fish. Some are good and some are bad. The bad are chucked away, the good are kept. And it says that's exactly the way it will be whenever everything is gone. There is a very real penalty for sin, and that is torment That is separation from God for your whole life. That is torment in the next life forever. That means in 10,000 years, every single person that has rejected God will still be suffering in the lake of fire. In 100,000 years, they will have been there for 110,000 years. And every time somebody looks, they will still be suffering and crying out in the lake of fire, knowing full well, not asking to be released because they know they're guilty. In the lake of fire, it is so important people get a chance to hear it. But we need to bear in mind the verses that Norman spoke from Isaiah 26. There are going to be some people, no matter how much leniency and love that you show to them, will still refuse. And they might be a loved one, they might be a dear friend, might be a spouse, it might be a parent, it might be a child. Your duty to them is discharged when you tell them the gospel. If they're a close family member or a close friend, your duty to them is discharged whenever your life is over and you can't be a Christian example anymore. We don't have to imagine. I'm going to give you something from... Has anyone ever heard of a film called R.I.P.D.? That was a story that was released maybe about 10 years ago about a cop that was killed and he was given a second chance to go back and arrest people that managed to escape from hell into this world. All that is a fanciful story. And you might get a kick out of it and you might have a laugh at it. There are people that believe that. When you read the Bible, when you read the parables that are like, it's like mushed up apple with lots of sugar for little children so they don't have to chew because they've only got gummy jaws. This is what the parables are. We don't have to imagine or invent or wait upon somebody else to give us an explanation. We just have to read the Bible. If you don't believe this, if you don't believe what the Bible says, it affects you in a bad way. But all of them, the real questions, the most important questions, they're all answered in the Word of God. And anyone can get a grasp of it. Anyone. Any soul, every soul needs to make sure they're on the right side of this. And this, right now, if you get it sorted now, it's sorted out forever. And it makes a powerful difference to know that whenever you go to your bed at night, you're either going to open your eyes here on earth, or you're going to open them in heaven. That makes a powerful difference to your friends. It's good to know that you have a Father in heaven that loves you and forgives you and went the extra mile to save you. That you have a Holy Spirit with you every moment of every day, and that the many promises and provisions of the Bible are for you and me, like right now. In other words, there are a little bit of heaven to be in heaven. It is good to know the important things in life. There's plenty enough for us to figure out, to try and do, and to work our way through. And sometimes we're waiting through dross and badness up to our necks. But it's good to know. It's good to know we're saved and on our way to heaven, and that those important questions are answered. God bless you. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time and attention. I hope that's a help to you. It's an interesting study of the parables, and one I would recommend you have a wee look at from time to time. Does anybody have a hymn that they would like for us to finish off with this evening? Anybody got a hymn? What about it? One ahead. 101.
If it's what I can get.
We're hoping. Jesus never fails. Very good. Hymn number 101 in the lecture.
Jesus never did. Let's stand as we sing at your feet. Close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this evening. Please bless the time in your presence and singing of your songs, the tithes, the offerings, the preaching, teaching, and reading of your word. And please be with those who couldn't be here, not just here, Lord, but around the world. Thank you, and we love you, Lord. Please bless and keep Israel, and that wee girl, Gemma, as well, Lord. Please, I pray, Lord, save her life. We love you and thank you, Father. We leave these things at your feet, along with private prayer requests and petitions. And we ask all of them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a